Romans chapter 12. We're going to spend some time looking at verses 3 to 8 today. First part I want to read to you is from the New King James Version. If you'd like to follow along in your books and Bibles, that would be awesome. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to each of us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. And he who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. Also, I just want to share with you from the message. I actually put that into the pastor's pen today. I've really found it impacted me and explained a few of these complicated issues, because it was so many of us know, yes, we've got gifts, yes, we've got this, and yes, we've got this, but sometimes we get caught up into it. Hopefully, you'll be less caught up as we leave today. This one's from the message. It says, I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misrepresent yourselves as people are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by God, by who God, what God is, and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a big toe, we wouldn't amount to much at all, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned to all these excellently formed and marvellous functioning parts in Christ's body, let us go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other, or trying to be something that we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you put in charge, don't manipulate. And if you're called to give aid to those in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, let yourself not get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Amazing passage, isn't it? And there's a whole bunch of ideas to help us in how we do things. Interesting that, you know, there's that last section. If you work with the disadvantaged, do not let yourself get irritated by them or depressed by them, but always keep a smile on your face. These simple passages raise three specific questions that we're going to look at today. The first question is, who am I? Who am I? It's a big question, isn't it? We ask that a fair bit of the time. That's an issue of identity. Question number two, where do I belong? The issue of security. And number three, what am I supposed to do? The issue of significance. Who am I? Well, let's have a look at verse 3 specifically. Verse 3 from the NIV says this, "For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with faith that God has distributed to each of you." Here we can hear that God calling to us very loudly and clearly and accurately about who we are. Because a personal baggage that we have from our past or the deep insecurities or past hurts, we can often carry them around and have a distorted view of who we really are. One of the best days of our lives will be when we stop and realize who we truly are in Christ. I love how verse 3 is shared in the Message version. It says, it is important not to misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing goodness to God. Isn't that an interesting phrase? A lot of the time we think about it's what we do for God. It's what I can do for God, what I bring to God. In fact, it's the other way around. It's what God brings to us. It's what God does in us. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. So it really comes back to that being still and knowing our God and really knowing who he is as he works in us. Because so often what we see in our world is not the potter controlling the clay, but the clay screaming at the potter, don't make me this way. And that's not the way it's meant to be. I know for myself, as a pastor, I often get caught up, and believe it or not, I often got caught up in who I am by what I do. My relationship with my God often comes from a pastoral point of view. I'm a leader of all these people's God. You know, I've got to be one of your favorites, God, because you've given me this responsibility. The reality is, being the pastor is one thing, but my walk with God has to be real, authentic, and full of integrity. And it's not about what I bring. It's what God does in and through me. If we have a look into Exodus chapter 3, you'll see Moses starting out with his walk with God. Remember where Moses came from. 40 years here, 40 years there. Then God's calling him off to do these things. And that big discussion that God has in Exodus chapter 3 is, I can't do this. You've got the wrong guy. Send my brother. He's a better talker than me. Because I won't bring anything to the table. But God says, you're the one I've chosen. You're the one I want to work through. And so then what does Moses say? Okay, well, if you're going to work through me, what are you going to do? And it becomes all the miracles that come afterwards. He has a stick that turns into a snake. And, you know, all these things happen. The miraculous, the power of God, the incredible, the supernatural. Moses goes on that journey. But then when he gets to chapter 33, all Moses says to God is this: if you do not come with us, I don't want to go. I don't care if I've got my stick that turns into a snake. I don't care if I can stand at the water and go part and it parts. I don't care if I can pray these prayers and this can happen. But if you're not with me, I'm not going. So Moses gets to a point where it's what God's doing. Not what's been done, but what God's doing right now. And he doesn't want to go forward without God's presence in and through his life. He doesn't want the people to go ahead. Here's what I've written down. It says, God was his life. Moses had learned the valuable lesson that his relationship with God mattered more than his skill and leadership. That's a big lesson for all of us to learn. Often we have our identity in Christ because of who we are. And it's not that at all. Our identity is in Christ because of who Christ is in us and his work that he continues to do and wants to do to make us better in our areas of skill and leadership and pastoring and so forth. But he's the one at work. Question 2, where do I belong? Reading from verses 4 and 5. For each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, the human body, which is the pictures given here, is a good one to picture, isn't it? For those of us who have had different pains and everything, you notice how one little pain can hurt the whole body. For me, my eyesight's been out of whack for the last 18 months, and I've dealt with that. I've been able to get on. I've been able to drive the car. So things have gone on very well. But I see some people. I prayed with another pastor about 2 weeks ago, and he's done his back, which they've found out there's a bit of a sciatic nerve thing happening. And he's in great pain. And because of this one area of pain, his whole life is immobilized. It's so crippling. For those of you who had crippling back pain, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. One area of pain shuts the whole body down. But that's not the way we're meant to be. If little finger is not meant to control the body, the body still be able to control the little finger. And so when God calls us here, we're meant to be working together. Each member belongs to everyone else. Now, Kiwanis Life Baptist Church, we use belong, believe, become. So belong, we work hard on. We say belonging is very important. But belonging is not just one person's job. Everyone understand that? Belonging is not just one person's job. Belonging is up for everybody. We all enable everyone else to belong. It's all of us working together to make one body. And if one part of the body is not working, then the rest of the body suffers. It's that simple. And so all of us need to work together in the area of belonging. We all need to go beyond ourselves to make sure that we can help one another. Going back to those one another's that we looked at earlier this year. They're so powerful, aren't they? One another this, one another that. And it's so, so good. And it helps us to change our lives. Each part of our body has its meaning as the whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body, his chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. So since we find ourselves fashioned in all these excellently formed and marvellous functioning parts in Christ's body, let us just go ahead and be what we're made to be, without envying or being prideful, comparing ourselves to others, or trying to be something that we aren't. So what am I supposed to do? We all have different gifts, don't we? How are we all meant to be working together? Verses 6 and 8 says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If our gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then to do it cheerfully. Let's stop for a moment and have a look at where we are. What is it that we have? I've been around a number of years in and through different churches. And at Bible College, I did a subject on spiritual gifts. I wanted to know all about the spiritual gifts. I want to do a quick survey. And those at home watching, maybe you can say, yes, I did this too. How many people have done one of those surveys to find out what is your spiritual gift? Can anyone put their hand up if they've done this? All right. Yep. There's been so many of them. And so they grab hold of the spiritual gifts from this passage, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, where a number of these gifts are mentioned. And we turn them into boxes. Now, I get that. I'm a bloke. I like boxes. I like putting things in boxes. I like to say this is where this belongs and this is where this belongs. I like things when 1 plus 1 equals 2. I like it that black and white. I like it when a referee calls a penalty when the players on the opposition team playing the Broncos are offside, because that's the rule. And they don't allow the try that was scored 2 minutes later. You got a 1 plus 1 equals 2. I like things in boxes. But I know a lot of ladies don't necessarily work with things just in boxes. You're able to work with things all over the place. You can think of three things at once. You know, I keep saying to Cynthia these days, as I get older, I'm finding I do this more. I'll be doing something and she'll say something to me and I'll go, hold on a sec, you see I'm doing something? That's it. That's all I can do. That's it. One box, one thing. Don't ask me to think of something else or I'm going to make a damage on this. And I like boxes, but so often in the church we've done the same thing. We've put people into boxes. Oh, your gift is pastoring, your gift is prophecy, your gift is healing, your gift is this. And we limit who God is. Our God is bigger than just us saying, you know, well, God, I'm in this situation, and in this situation we really need someone that has a prophetic gift. Well, according to that survey I did back in 1986... at Bible College, my prophetic gift is really low. So I'm obviously the wrong person, God. You can't work through me. Does that sound strange? That's rubbish. If God wants to work in and through you, allow him to work through you. Can God bring a word to someone else through you? Of course he can. Can God bring an encouragement through you to someone else? Of course he can. Can God use you to pray for someone? Of course he can. Can God use you to share Jesus to someone? Yes, he can. Because it's all about what God can do in and through us, not what we bring to the table. It's allowing God to be the one working in and through us. Surely some of us do have better giftings in some areas, and that's easy for us to do that. And some people are good at getting in front of people and speaking. You don't need to all have to do these things. But we all need to be prepared to let God work in and through us in what we're meant to do. This one in the book of Romans in the Message says, if you preach, preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful with that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. And if you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. And if you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Isn't that interesting, the dynamic that it brings to the whole area of spiritual gifts? It brings a natural stuff to what it's about. I mean, when we do things as followers of Jesus, should not the grace of God and the love of God work through us? Doesn't that make sense? How could we be working in an area, say for example, working with the disadvantaged and then being grumpy? Just sit and be still. I'm working in my spiritual gift here. Can't you see that? Well, what area of the fruit of the Spirit's not working through you at that time as the gift of the Spirit's being utilised? They're not to be done one without the other. If our gifting is working, then allow it to be showered in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Allow the whole work of God, the whole grace of God to work in and through us. So does that mean you have to belong to a ministry? Well, as I've seen in a number of churches over many years, as you walk outside these four doors, you are in your ministry. And in fact, inside these four doors, you're in your ministry. God calls us, as a part of the body, to be one with one another, sharing his grace that he's given each one of us for this day with one another. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the opportunity of delving into your word. I want to thank you, Lord God, that your grace is upon each and every one of us. I want to thank you, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit wants to work in and through us. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you give us opportunities. Sometimes these opportunities, Father, take place inside these four walls here. And we get to lead worship, we get to preach, we get to share from your word, we get to say good day to one another, we get to encourage, we get to do what we can do here. But Father, as we leave this place, we go to be your people. We go to bring your grace that is flowing in and through us. We get to bring your mercy. We get to bring the good news. We get to be your hands and feet, and as needed, your mouthpiece. I pray, Lord God, that you would fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Alert us to what you want to do in through us as your people, as followers of Jesus, as a part of the body. Father God, today, as a part of your body, we have joined with churches all around Australia. We have cried out to you for brothers and sisters who some know you and some do not. We have asked, Lord God, for your healing power. We have asked for your protection. And Father, I pray that we would not just leave those prayers here in this space. We would take those prayers throughout this day and pray again and again and again. And for whatever this day may hold, whoever we may come to meet or have fellowship with or talk to in any of the many different forms, may we be able to let your gifts and the fruit of your Spirit be evident to one and all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.